Lord. What a beautiful thought, Lord. You know, we can stand in your presence, Lord. You know, nothing else matters, Lord. You know, when, you know, we stand before you, Lord, and everything behind us, Lord, becomes a shadow, Lord. You know, Lord, that's intimacy of relationship, Lord. That right there, Lord, is true worship, Lord. You know, when you can break through, Lord, you know, this terrestrial, Lord. You know, when, and you know, it becomes a personal thing, Lord. You know, where, you know, nothing else matters, Lord. You know, and, you know, Lord, I just want to just give you the glory, Lord, and the praise, Lord. And, you know, we just want to thank you, Lord, for, you know, for everything that you've done, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord, that, you know, we get this opportunity, Lord, to come back into your presence again, Lord. And, you know, Lord, I know, Lord, that we've had a couple of weeks off, a couple of weeks rest, a couple of weeks change of activity, Lord. But, you know, Lord, I pray, Lord, that, you know, we've come, Lord, into this place, Lord, ready, Lord, to just really hear from you this morning, Lord. Lord, I just want to commit each and every one of us, Lord, this meeting into your hands, Lord. You know, our worship, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we may continue to just worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. You know, even reading about the woman who gave, you know, two mites, Lord. That right there, Lord, is true worship, Lord. All she had, Lord, she gave. You know, and our worship, Lord, is, you know, it's a personal thing, Lord. You know, no one needs to see, no, but you know the heart, Lord. Especially of this woman, you know, you knew her heart, Lord, which she gave, Lord. And, you know, that was true worship on display right there, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, just want to commit our service into your hands, Lord. You know, our saints, Lord, that are on the FOAs, Lord, on our Zoom, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they may also receive their satisfying portion, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Just bless our pastor, Lord, as he brings the word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you may anoint him, Lord, and use him, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. You know, Lord, we just want to give you the glory and the praise, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come into your presence yet again, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. Oh, man. Far out. It's been a while. It's been a while. God bless. Bam. Our sister here, Sister Michelle, she's flowing in from Melbourne. We just want to welcome you, sis. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of who you are. God bless you too, to our brethren on Zoom. Sorry, Brother Steen. Brother Larry and the kids, God bless. Of who you are,
because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing.
Lord, I worship you.
You because
Say Happy New Year's. First service in. I hope you guys are, I don't know, feeling, how are we feeling this morning? Are we feeling awesome? That's the vibe I'm getting. Awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nah, just, you know, are we, you know, ready to rock and roll? Or are we coming in sluggish? You know, just made it through, ready to get that boost again? Or are we like, you know, horse racing terms, eh? I used to look at horses and I used to see them, and I'd know when a horse is ready to go when they shred off their winter coat. I'm just saying, that's almost like our winter coat. Shred it off, we're ready to rock and roll now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing His Banner Over Me Is Love. Hey brother, can we take the offering? Brother, please.
His banquet table, His banner over me is love. Pour me on His banquet table, His banner over me is love. Bow me on His banquet table, His banner over me is love.
Set
straight path before my feet, and His banner
repeat that verse again, eh? You guys sound like you guys are still bound. He broke the chains.
He broke the chains and he set me free. And his banner over me is love.
Yes, hallelujah.
He broke the
chains and he set me free. And his banner over me is love. He broke the chains and he set me free. And his banner over me is love.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. My beloved,
and he is mine, and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. I am my beloved, and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. I'm beloved, and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. His banner.
Lord, we just, we thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that, you know, the banner of love is always upon us, Lord. And, you know, Lord, just want to say thank you, Lord, for, you know, for this time of giving, Lord, as we give unto you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that, you know, that you may bless the giver. You know, when, thank you, Lord, you know, for who you are, Lord. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless, saints. If you'd like to turn and, you know,
God bless Josh.
Give someone a hug or a handshake and greet them in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
God bless you.
Amen.
Good morning. God bless, brother.
God bless you, Sister Julie, Brother Steve. Way. Everyone turn to the camera, give them a, yes, that's the one, give them a focus, give them a hug, a wave. Even to our brothers and the kids, Brother Larry and the kids. Barbara, just put that. God bless you, sister. Manifesting time, eh? Sorry, guys. I was just trying to suss out who her name was.
It's manifesting time. Coming in praise you.
have God chosen by redemption, glory now. He's a lovely one. He's coming in
favor. The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes.
Sweeping
over the mountains, over the hills,
he runs.
I long to hear his voice. I long. Coming in plain view to camp God's chosen bride. Redemption glorified. He's that loving one. He's coming in plain view. The grace are yours and mine. Little foxes spoil the vine. Blossoms forth till harvest time. Keep your eyes on things above. Don't look at below you. See that lovely one. He's coming in you.
Let's manifest in time.
Manifest in time.
The fruit are on the vine and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, check God's chosen bride. Redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one
is coming in plain
view. In the clear of the rock, in the secret place so high, to the daybreak
and the shadows
flee away. Oh, in that mountain place, our sweet smiles coming through.
Yes, he's that lovely one.
He's coming in. It's manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. To keep God's chosen bride, redemption draweth by. He's that lovely one. He's coming in.
He's that lovely one.
He's that lovely one. He's coming in plain view.
Man, is it manifesting time or what, saints? Did you guys see the fruit on these photos? Woo! Pastors, these photos?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. Only like 3 people commented as well, by the way. But... Let me check. Praise the Lord. We're eagles there, right? We're called. We're eagles this morning. He's higher praise, higher worship. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been born in an eagle age.
We have been born in an eagle age. By an eagle prophet's message to manifest the living word for our being. And we've been given wings to fly. We are up in the sky. Where no other bird can fly.
atmosphere. To fly where only eagles dare. So let's fly so high where the word of God is a living reality. Our message has called us out from this world of fear and doubt. We have been given eyes to see, for the mysteries will be revealed. Now our lives are fulfilling prophecy. See our position in God's word. To fly where only eagles go. So let's fly so high where the word of God is a living reality. Let's fly where eagles dare.
We were not called to be earthbound amongst the chipmunks on the ground, neither to be living up and down, but quick and change. Lifted up upon the mountaintop, sitting in the cliff of the rock, gathered with the carcasses.
Yes, hallelujah.
In God's provided place we live. So let's fly. Spirit of God, move.
Spirit of God, move. Preach your word in my heart. Fill my whole being. Consume my life. Spirit of God, move. An empty vessel I want to be. So that you can come. That was for my desperate cry.
Hallelujah.
Spirit of God, move. Place your word in my heart. Fill my whole being. Consume my life. Spirit of God, move. Vessel I want to be, so that you can come, Lord, and fill me.
Spirit of God,
Spirit of God, move. Place your word in my heart, fill my whole being.
And empty vessel,
so that
Worship you, Lord, to be able to shake away all of the effects of this life, this world, and come into a place, oh God, where we can worship the one and only true and living God.
Amen.
A place, oh God, that we can be sensitized to your word and your will. A place, Lord, where we can be shut in with God. Where we can fellowship with you. Where you can come down, O God, and lead us and direct us by your word. Where we allow the effects of the things of this world and the things of this life to be stripped away from us. Where we can come under the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all our failures, all our faults, all our sin, our iniquity can be washed away, because we claim your precious blood upon our lives, oh God. We want to be in a place where we can be sensitive to your mind, to your will, to your word. Where you can open up the vision that we can see and walk into. And we need you, Lord, in this hour more than ever. Yes. We realize, Lord, to be able to move into a realm of crying out, Abba, Father. Come up into a place of full adoption where you are our head, and where you lead, we follow. If we ever want to break into those supernatural realms, Lord, in a consistency, not just a one-off, and then we can testify of that for 10 years. But in a place of a full consistency in that realm. Surely, Lord, that is our desire. And if it is our desire, it came from you. Come to a place, oh God, where we're sick of ourselves. Sick of our own leading. Because we're never going to have you as our complete head unless we die to our own ways, our own thinking. And some of that thinking, Lord, not even our own thinking, it's the thinking of Mystery Babylon. But I pray that you would show us some of these things, Lord. Reveal yourself to us in your word. Give us vision, give us understanding of what we're coming into in 2025. I know, Lord, it was nice to fellowship with you around our prayer and fasting, the kind of teaching that would lift us up into heavenly places, that would give us direction and leadership by your Holy Spirit to give a higher praise, to understand what sacrificial love is all about. To break away, oh God, from this Laodicean, lukewarm condition and come into a condition of hot. Then I pray that your word would help us to identify where we are as individuals, where we stand, what ground we're standing on, Because how can we move by faith unless first we know what ground we're standing on? And I know, Lord, I've got to come to the one that gives the seed to the sower. I've got to be able to find that seed in its original form. I've got to divorce myself from all my own thoughts and ideas so that only the seed of God would be sown into the hearts and the minds of your people, and then under expectation to bring forth a crop. Grant these things, Father. Oh God, show us, Lord, the lateness of the hour. Just like that last verse was saying, we want to cry out, Abba Father, is what I cry. Come to me, Lord. Fill me with your thinking. When I see the things that are happening out in the world, not creeping in, coming in like a flood. These things alone will not give us that desperate cry. Because we've seen these things for many years now. It takes you coming upon your word, taking control of our thinking, and then raising us, Lord, into that dimension. We need, Lord, your supernatural intervention. We need you to break us from our natural thinking. By your grace, Lord, I believe you can achieve these things. So we come, Lord, that's our part, to worship you, to create the kind of atmosphere where your Holy Spirit can come and speak to us lip to ear.
Amen.
Because if we didn't come for that, then we would be a people most miserable.
Amen.
I pray, Lord God, that you would allow the spirit of a lamb to come upon us so that the lamb can come and open the book.
Amen.
Deal with, Lord, any humanistic superiority complexes. Allow us to come meek and lowly with a desire to be taught your word. Allow us to come humble, Lord.
Yes.
Where we are teachable. Where we're desiring, oh God, to hear so clearly from you, to give us direction and leadership of 2025. Grant these things, Father, I pray. I commit the service into your hands, trusting in you, the one that we've trusted in for all these years.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Trusting that you would allow just that supernatural anointing to come upon your word. Because, Lord, our education ain't going to break us into those realms.
Right. Amen.
It's what you did for us at Calvary. And at Calvary, how you went past the cross. How you went down into the realms. Souls that were in prison. You rose from the grave. Prophecy was drawing you up. Let prophecy draw us up. Let prophecy lift us into a higher realm of thinking.
Amen.
Take us out of humanistic thinking and humanistic faith. Let us break beyond the crust that would keep us, oh God, in a humanistic thinking, and allow us to break into divine faith. Thank you, Lord. We commit our service into your hands. Take complete control. Spirit of God, move. Place your word in our hearts.
Amen.
Fill my whole being. Consume my life. And bring me into a focus so I can be about my Father's business. Grant these things, Father, I pray, for I ask these things in the wonderful and blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all, brethren. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians, singers. You can have your seats. Praise God. Well, warm welcome to everybody. Hey, you know, we might have had our first service on last Sunday, and we were looking at perfect love and perfect faith and perfect gifts. And I want to take that a little bit further this morning. I want to take that thought a little bit further. And really, we were looking at how we were wanting to start 2025. Because when we're talking about perfect love and perfect faith, this is not just talking about, these are not just phrases. It's life. And it's a life that we have to live beyond the veil. Is that me? Sister Barbara. My goodness, I would recognize that face anywhere. God bless you, sister. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember Sister Barbara and that angelic voice, that worship. Sister Huddy, hey? And that, just that worship and the gifts of worship. How long since you sung last, sister? Last week. Oh, well, that's good. Those vocal cords are still being exercised, eh? Praise the Lord. God bless you, brethren, out there in Zoom land. Praise the Lord. Oh, is that me? Okay. We wanted to get some framework, huh, for 2025, I'll just continue in that vein by God's grace. So while you're standing, let's turn in our Bibles. We want to go to Matthew chapter 24. Just start from this portion of scripture. And I want to title the sermon this morning, To See and Live from Eternity to Eternity. To See and Live from Eternity to Eternity. And that's quite a topic. We won't be able to cover that in just one service. And basically, Sunday last week was laying a foundation for these things. It was just foundational things. Matthew 24 is fellowship with the disciples. It's questions and answers. Eh? But the church is already quite advanced. They've understood the effects of end time evangelism. They know how to find the names in the book. The shepherd has built them up in the fundamental foundations of the faith, right? And now the shepherd is leading them out. And what was the purpose of leading them out? Because he chose 12 disciples. And a lot of those disciples had ministerial gifts. And he taught them so that now they could go out and find also the names that were in the book. They could build up the kingdom of God. And so they had to learn where to go. Jesus only instructed them, go where I will I would go. Now, the reason why Jesus had to do the follow-up work is because they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost yet. But they were trying to do a work for the Lord without the Holy Ghost. They could cast out devils. Is that right? They could lay their hands upon the sick and they would recover. Look at the authority and power that the Lord Jesus had given them. And they came back rejoicing, and Jesus said, don't rejoice because you can cast out devils, but rejoice rather because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So look at these things, saints. Because when Jesus is teaching from Matthew 24, he's actually wanting to elevate their thinking. He's already taught them about temporal things. He said, give no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall put on, which is temporal things. Amen. And I've always been trying to get you away from temporal things. They're things that preoccupy your mind. They're things that colonialism has taught you, that you've got to work for 40 hours a week, that I want all the attention, so your boss becomes Jehovah Jireh. Get real. Hey? Your employer don't control you unless you give yourself to their control. Whoa. That's not the system of this world and life's thinking. You see, he's already taught them these things, and he's taught them, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things I'll add unto you. He's trying to show them how to get back into a supernatural economy. So he's got to break them away from those effects. And that's what I was speaking about last Sunday, is to break away from mystery Babylon. And the practicalities of these things to come into a supernatural economy by faith. To be able to live by faith is not to rely on this world systems. To be in Goshen while the judgments are falling on Egypt. How do you get into that position? Step by step. How do you break from the effects of political realms? Political manipulation. Isn't that what governments are doing? Manipulating the minds and the hearts of the people? Getting away from religious fanaticisms and religious indoctrination. And what Jesus has seen, he's already laid down those foundational things. And why I'm saying this is because you've all come through all of those areas, right? We know those things. We try to live those things. I say we try to live those things. We don't always succeed. We all sometimes get pulled back into that realm of thinking. And now Jesus has got to bring them into a place where they're not just looking at the temple. Even after all this teaching, they're still looking at the temple and failing to see the temple. Failing to see the one Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Failing to see that you are the temple. The temple of what? That God wants to dwell in. But he can't dwell in an unclean vessel. That's why the furniture in the temple had to be built a certain way. Don't you know that you are the temple and you are the vessels and you are the priesthood? So they're pointing back to a historical religion. The disciples are the tour guides. After all of this teaching, the disciples are the tour guides, taking Jesus for a tour of the temple. And he is the temple. They were looking back at the shadow. He was the Word made flesh. Glory. And Jesus went out Matthew 24, verse 1. And departed from the temple. I like that part. I like that thought of departed from the temple. Departed from the history. The I am, the temple was right there. They're wanting to show him the temple. Come on, saints. They were advanced in their teaching, but they needed to advance more. That's what 2025 is all about. A higher realm of thinking. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Whoo! This is the outer court. This is the inner court, and this is the holiest of holies. This is where Moses washed the priests. They're telling him the word. The one that gave the design to Moses. The one that understood the purpose of the building of the temple. And he's trying to elevate their thinking. He's trying to get them to look from eternity to eternity. He wanted them to take their eyes off temporal things. And Jesus said unto them, the tourist guides. Disciples become tourist guides of religious relics. Huh? I mean, if you get manuhiri up and around the area, you know, you want to take them to the special historic sites, right? You want to take them to the places where tourists want to be. You know, I don't want to see fishing boats. I want to go fishing. Isn't that right? I don't want to look through magazines and see somebody pulling in a 20-pound snapper. I want to pull one in. You see, one is an observer. The other is a doer. One is showing them historical sites and showing them artifacts. Which is all about history. But the word present tense was in their midst, and he was wanting them to see into higher realms. Glory. And so after they'd given him the tour guide treatment, you know, showed them around Waitangi, around the treaty house. Hey, this is the historical relic. Hey, this is the word made flesh. You want tourism? Come and show them around where the saints are. Hey, sister. My goodness, how did you sneak in like that? Praise the Lord. I'm looking and I'm thinking, my goodness. Sister has, with her glasses on, she looks different. Look at these things, man. I tell you, I thought things couldn't get past the shepherd's eye. I'm so caught up in this vision. I'm so caught up in this, what I'm wanting to show you. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? In other words, don't look on those. Don't look on those historical artifacts. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So he's looking with an eagle eye. He's looking to see things that are to be. He's looking to be able to show that what they have put their trust in will come to nothing. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, because now they're gone away to have some fellowship. And it was questions and answers on the mount. The disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they opened up a topic of conversation. Huh? But even the way that the Lord was responding to their historical tourist guide was getting them thinking in the right realms. And that's what I want you to be thinking, in the right realms. Amen? I want you to be looking into the places where he wants you to be looking. And you know what? Praise the Lord that the word was among them. To be able to renew the vision, to get them thinking in the right way. These are some of the keys, brethren, that we're looking at by God's grace. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats. So quite a bit, eh? Quite a bit contained in these things. A lot of, how can I put it? Truth being brought out to a church that understood the fundamental foundations of the faith. And Matthew 24, we know, was the teaching of the church ages, the teaching of the seven seals, the teaching of the trumpets, the teaching of the pouring out of the vials. Matthew 24 was him showing them the sequence of events. Matthew 24 was showing them how we are now in the beginning of sorrows, or what the scriptures refer to as amateur tribulation. But after the bride has taken the rapture, then comes great tribulation, right? And that's when the third woe is fully kicked in, because at the moment, that's what we're seeing is amateur tribulation. But what I'm also seeing is some of the, because we're living in the harvest time, we shouldn't only be seeing a maturity in the bride, but we also see the maturity of the tares. We should be seeing the maturity of the wheat, but we see the maturity of the tares as well. I can see the seeds of Mystery Babylon coming into fruition now, because I'm watching chaos all around the world. I'm watching LA burning. I'm watching the effects of Utu from some of the Palestinians or those in Gaza who have got whānau or contacts lighting fires so that Americans can taste some of the destruction that they've wrought. Haven't they linked those things to some of these things too? The lighting of fires? But that's only the beginning of sorrows. When you see the amount of people that have been, they've lost homes and properties and everything, right? In one fire. But saints, a fire has already been burning. Where the streets are filled with homeless. Because the system is not designed to let you, the common people, be comfortable. It's designed to make you struggle. That's why I don't rely on it. But what we've got to be able to do is to be able to see from eternity to eternity, to be able to catch these things. And this is why I referred to one of those quotes yesterday, last Sunday, when I said, when he died at Calvary, he climbed the ramparts of Calvary until he kept on climbing on Easter morning, till he climbed beyond the moon, stars, sun, until he could see from eternity into eternity. Now, can we climb up into the supernatural realms until we can see from eternity into eternity? Because if we are locked in time, we're limited to what we see. We're limited to what man wants us to see. And then we can only have humanistic faith. Because didn't we understand last week there's a difference between human faith and divine faith? Massive difference. And with your humanistic faith, it's more like a hope. I hope it'll happen. And never raise up to be able to fulfill that part. But we want to come into a realm of perfect faith. We've got to be operating in perfect faith in this year. We should be operating in perfect faith now. Perfect faith is you pray and you walk into the vision of your prayer. And these things are fulfilled. Watch what he says. He says his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he's watching this meeting tonight. He wants to see what we'll do with the word. So sometimes we're placed in humanistic realms to see how we react. Are we going to apply the word? Are we going to look by faith? Are we seeing this as the Lord giving us opportunities to activate our faith? Are we in his mind? Are we in his will? Have we broken from our own will so that we can fulfill the will of God for our life? Because that's something that we have to fight against, just like the Lord did. How did he overcome? First, he had to overcome his own will. What did he do? He says, nevertheless, not my will. The Lord said, oh, that this cup should pass from me. What cup? Calvary. What cup? Sacrificial love. It took perfect faith. It took to raise above his own will. Oh, that this cup should pass from me. Go beyond your will. What we were talking about on Wednesday night with the prayer and fasting, climbing up into a higher realm. We're going to overcome. If I get hungry, that means, oh, praise the Lord, my fasting's over because I'm hungry now. No, you got to overcome. It's self-sacrifice. It's not your own will. Because fasting is to get you into the condition to know his mind and his will. And then you speak his word. Our humanistic thinking and our humanistic faith goes, oh, I feel hungry, that means my fast is over. Hey, so what if I'm fasting to find the mind of the Lord so I can sow seed and bring you the message? And then my thinking is, ah, well, I've done my part. It's up to you, Lord. I'm done. I want to be sensitized to the leading of his Holy Spirit. I want to be conscious of his presence. And sometimes he doesn't reveal the direction for the service until I'm out of the way. So I can study all week, gather certain thoughts, but it takes him to put it all together. This is what I'm talking about, brethren, to be able to break from eternity to eternity, because then I've got all of the information that is needed. And the picture is clear. I'm not seeing partial. To look from eternity to eternity. And this is why I title the service this morning to see and live from eternity to eternity. So let's take this sword a little bit further. I didn't want to just, because when Jesus is opening up these things, he opened up so many different realms. While this world is in just a chaos, the seeds of colonialism had been sown even into the disciples, and he had to break them from that worldly thinking. Now, colonialism is not just a word, it's a system. Because actually they were under colonialism. They were under Roman rule. Is that right? They were under oppression. But they are also under religious manipulation. And that was the roots of Mystery Babylon anyway. We'll get into that a little bit more as we're going along. So this is the thing. This was how the disciples should have been so happy they had the word amongst them. To keep them from the emotional thinking. To keep them, this is why it's important that the word is our absolute. And every one of us has a desire to live by the word. Man shall not live by word alone, but by every... man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now this scenario to me is so real because the church had advanced. The church was doing the will of the Lord, but now they had to break those last tentacles, and it takes the Holy Ghost to do that. How do we break into economy by faith? How do we go back to Edenic conditions? Because we talk about it. We understand it. But I want you to be able to see it and live in it. And some of these effects, like the effects that were on the lives of the disciples after the Lord had been teaching them for over 3 years. And some of these effects are ingrown. Some of these effects, because he's got to change them from the Mosaic laws, from the commandments to grace. He's got to show them through Paul that the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. They had to know how to turn a corner. And remember, they've had some deep teaching already. It was pretty deep teaching on Mount Transfiguration, right? When 4 terrestrial bodies walked up to the mount. 2 theophany bodies, Moses and Elijah, came to the meeting, the conference with God. And one, what was that other body? Glorified body stepped out of a terrestrial body to show us the types and patterns in the scripture. What heavy teaching. And then the Lord said to the disciples, see thou, tell no man. Why? Because you cannot teach it unless you got the Holy Ghost in you. And even then, Paul didn't teach these things until he had perfect love. Peter is mature before he starts to speak about these things. And he's speaking about the day star dawning. And the day star arise in your hearts. He's speaking about the love of God. And then he tells us, I was an eyewitness of his majesty. So they've had deep teaching. I'm saying you've had deep teaching. But what will break us out of the grips of Mystery Babylon? How do we come out of Egypt? Step by step. how to enter into a promised land. And the promised land back then was a natural land. Ours is a spiritual land. How do we come out of this materialistic thinking? Because that's a part of colonialism. You realize that? In a message, perfect faith. Robert was saying this, always remember, church, God's words are true. I believe the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Hey? The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it in the right way, but remember, here's been my standard in life. I have tried to do this. The first thing I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. Everything that we do, find out if it's the will of God or not. And if it's not the will of God, what is it? Hey? It's the will of man, or it's self-will. Those are the three things I was trying to tell you. First, the Lord had to deny his own will. Right? He said, oh, this cup should pass from me. That was his own will. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Find out whether it's the will of God. And then you have to overcome what? The will of man. The pressure of others. The influence of others that'll influence you away from the word. The will of men. Is that a struggle sometimes? And you might say, no sweat. I'm a believer man. Whew. No. The will of others can influence you. So this is the thing. You find out whether it's the will of God or not. If it's not the will of God, what are you going to do? Hey? You know what a lot of people do? This is where the lack of communication comes. It's because it's not the will of God and it's our own will or the will of man, the influence of another, we don't make our plan known. Does that happen sometimes? And this is what was happening. This actually started back in the Garden of Eden. This is where they were actually living in a condition of innocence, veiled until the serpent came and influenced Eve to break the word and the will of God. And that's how it started. And that's what brought in serpent seed. Whoo! So how did he overcome the will of man? They said to him, come off the cross and we'll believe you. They got a stick, smacked them around the head. Prophesy who hit you. This is the influences on the word of the will of man. Come off the cross. What about the way that the enemy had said to him? When he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and that temptation come upon him to worship the beast. You don't have to go to Calvary. It's too hard. Too hard, man. Hey, just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms. Hey? Did he have to overcome those things to fulfill the will of the Lord? And some of these things are basic, saints. So to overcome self-will, to overcome the will of man, to fulfill the will of God. And this is one of the things to have perfect faith. We've got to know it's God's will. If it's not God's will, no supernatural manifestation, and we can manufacture some of those. I believe the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass if you can look at it in that way. But remember, here's been my standard in life. I've tried to do this. The first thing I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. Then I know it's God's will. When you know it's God's will, you can walk in it. The next thing is my objective to it. And my motive in doing it. What's our objective? What's our motive? Are we trying to build up the kingdom of God? Are we trying to do something that is a part of His will? What's our objective and our motive? Because you know what? You can be politically motivated. You can be religiously motivated and it's still not the will of God. Or it might be His will, but you're being influenced from another realm. So find out if it's the will of God. Is my objective right? Is my motive right? Because first, it's the will of God. My objective is to glorify Him and my motive is to give Him all the glory. And there's no selfish motives about it. That's important, huh? If you have a selfish motive, it won't work. If your objective is to make money for yourselves or something, why, you'll never succeed. Then try to do something outside of the will of the Lord, then it won't work to begin with. Then he says, so there is genuine faith, but you must come into the real channel of God to have that genuine faith. Otherwise, what is it from last Sunday? It's humanistic faith. It's faith. There's a part of it's based on a part of the word. But it's not the full word and will of God for this season. And this is what we're talking about. The word for the season. Right? Find out if it's the will of God. Find out if you've got the right motive and right objective. And if you have, that's genuine faith. That's the real channel of God that'll give you genuine faith to fulfill the promise. Then he says there's human faith, then there's faith of God. And you must have a godly faith to believe. Now then, to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. It's got to be in the Word. What did Adam and Eve come up with when they reasoned with an outside influence? They reasoned with the serpent, and then what came? A substitute. They knew they were naked, and then they sewed themselves clothes because when they were living in a faith economy, when they were living by the full word of God, they were naked and they didn't know it. Now they have to make clothing to hide their nakedness. And what did the Lord say when he came down to look for them? They were hiding from his presence. They knew they had got out of the mind and the will of God. They were hidden from his presence and he had to go look for them. Adam, where art thou? And Adam comes out with his fig leaf religion. Adam came out with his first attempt at clothing. Amen. He still wanted to appear religious, but he had gotten away from the will of God. He had moved himself away from the word, and outside influence pulled him out of that Edenic condition. I'm trying to show you this because if we're going back to Eden, we got to understand that principle and get back into Edenic condition again. So they had on their own religion. Because what was the fig leaf? It was a covering. And the covering we need is the blood. Praise the Lord. Now, to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. Then, that's how God projects to you visions and revelations. And all these things come by the mind of Christ being in you. You get it? Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So if you want to break into those realms where the songwriter has to go to write the song, to catch the symphony, to be able to catch the orchestra, to be able to see the rhythms, the composition. You see, he's got to see all things. You've got to be in the mind of God. That's when he projects to you visions, revelations. All of these things come by the mind of Christ being in you. How can I get the word unless I break into those realms? Songwriter the same. Singer the same. We're not trying to articulate by choreography. Then he's using our eyes. He's using our hands. He's using every part. Our vocals is just an expression of what's in the heart. But we're using our eyes to sing, to worship. We're using our arms, our shoulders. The whole body is in sync with the vision. Then you don't have to stand in the mirror, you know, and learn a certain flick. Well, you're going through a certain part in the song and you got this little flick and you watch it and you're trying to time it right. Nah, that's carnal. Create the atmosphere by Christ in you. Because let's face it, vocal cords is a gift from God. But there's more than just vocal cords. Beyonce's got vocal cords. Eh? But that was a gift from God. But look at the expression. Lead more people to hell with a gift than to heaven. Why? The mind of Christ isn't in it. Why? Because the outside influences brought the world into it. That's what Satan wants to do. Bring the world into the gift. Bring the world into you. So saints, we got to be, if we're heading into 2025 and we want to achieve the objectives of God, you have to be tuned into the mind of Christ. We come beyond the eyes, saints. The eyes is the prophet. The eyes is the seeing. And when the eyes were taken out in Samson, he come up into the intelligence of God, into the mind of God. That's the last stage. We have the mind of Christ. We know what he wants done with the word. We have thus saith the Lord, or we stand still. I wonder how many have gotten to that condition yet. Because we ain't going back to perfect faith and perfect love until we have his mind. And then when we're in the intelligence of Christ, we're under the headship of the word. Amen. We're not under our own headship. We're not under our own leading. We're not under our self-will. We're under the head of Christ. That's the seventh seal himself. We're sealed until the day of our redemption. We're not moving on whims. We're moving by thus saith the Lord. Woo! Is that what you want for 2025? Because if we have anything else, we won't achieve the objectives for the year. And amidst its perfect faith, that's the way it is to all believers. They're a mystic. They can see into supernatural realms. They can know by the mind of Christ. This is what I've been talking about. They can soar beyond Calvary, up past the moon and past the stars, right up into eternity. That's why I'm saying living, seeing and living from eternity to eternity. That's the place I want to be for 2025. And then I can come down into earthly places and live from heavenly places. Glory. Then I got the support of all of heaven. I'm not seeing temporal. I'm not seeing partial. I'm seeing from eternity to eternity, and I'm living in that. And then no Philistine. No. How many came across Shamgar? Was it 800? 800 Philistine soldiers come against him, and he stands in his inheritance with his ox goad and just says to them, Romans, you ain't taking my lintels. He didn't say, you aren't taking my $10,000 I've got in the bank, because he didn't have that. They come to take his lintels. They come to take what he had worked with his hands to raise up in his field. Glory. And you ain't taking that. Eh? To try and take my fees to license my dog when you do nothing for my dog. Eh? Because they want me to pay $45 a dog and do nothing for my dog. But then I've got to be able to balance these things. I got to render unto Caesar what Caesar and unto God what's God's. You see what I mean? The balance is in the word. I've got to be balanced in Christ. Because my humanistic faith will want me to fight the system physically. But my heavenly vision is higher than that. Glory! My constitution doesn't come from 1835. He whakaputanga. Come on. My constitution goes way back. Before the foundation of the world, when sons and daughters of God shouted for joy. Where wast thou before the foundation of the world? Declare if thou hast understanding. I'm talking about brethren being in a place to be able to go from eternity to eternity and see these things the way they are. But I'm Shamgar. Counselor, come try and take my lintels? Come on. I'm not where I want to be because caterpillars are still eating my cabbages. Hey, I'm not quite where I want to be, but I've made steps to get where I want to be in the vision of the word. It's like Brother Hip came and picked up the rotary hoe from my place. Man, anybody that wants to create a little Eden in their backyard, I'm right there to support that kaupapa. I'll give the tools that are necessary. Amen. I'll supply the manpower when it's needed. And I believe brother drew inspiration from seeing the fruit of the labor. I mean, I chuck on a few photos and a few little clips to provoke you to good works. The joy, the whole principle of mara, marakai. The whole principle. I don't care whether it costs me more for my cabbage than what I can buy it at Pack and Save. It's the whole principle of life. And then caterpillars are still having a feed, and I've got to figure out whether this is 10% or is it the gleanings. The birds came down and started eating my corn, so I zap the rest of them and give some to Brother Hepper because I got to give away the first fruits. And whoever is around when I'm plucking those first fruits, they get the first fruits. I got to apply the word. But the first fruits is to show that there's more coming in the harvest. Look at the principles here, saints. If I want to go back to Eden, I can't rely on hybrid food. That's why a part of the purpose and a part of the little steps is getting back to the original seed. He kaka no aho. I want an original seed that'll bring forth the original fruit. Because hybrid food is playing with people's mentality. It's breaking down their immune systems. It's stimulating anger and fear. Hybrid food. You realize that? I want to get back. My goodness, I was saying to trees last night because we were just eating off the fruits of not just the mara but the moana. And the ngahiri. So we're having wild pork chops. We were having, what a kai, man. We were having crayfish. And we're having salad. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, looks like I'm going to have to get used to eating salads. Because when you plant, you're going to produce a crop. Right? And we're having this salad and we got apple cucumbers, oh man. And we getting these beans and I love peas, but I'm not keen on beans, but I'm gonna have to change my appetite. Hey? You see what I mean? It's readjusting and then it's finding ways to utilize those things that God has blessed us with. But the thinking and the whole economy. Like, I get down there now. I'm so sensitized because when Sister Tucker was asking him about probation workers to look after here and at home, and I'm thinking these fellas don't love my garden like I do. That's just a labor force. No. Because when I get down there, I'm walking through those tomatoes. And they just look like stalk with some leaves on the top. And I know I'm working how to get the balance. How to allow for photosynthesis. Whoo! Eh? Sunlight to come in. How the root systems need to be firm. How I need to get those root systems going in deep to suck up the nutrients. All of these things. It's principles of God because I don't want to be just a consumer. I want to be a producer. Isn't that right? All of us producing. But I was down there with my tomatoes and I'm looking at them because they've always been lush. They've always been. And I realized why they're not producing so many leaves now, because I always like plucking the leaves because I don't want to grow leaves. I want to grow fruit. And my pumpkins and my kamokamo and all of these things, they're lush. But they've got massive leaves that are sucking up the energy of the tree. So my thinking is, okay, I'm going to clip some of those things off. Because all they're doing is they fulfill their part. And all they're doing is they're sucking off the system. The resources that are available, cutting off those things because I want to produce fruit. And all the energy is going into the fruit. So I'm walking through that garden, I'm looking at them tomatoes, and I'm thinking, they're lacking something. But I'm sensitive enough to know it. Eh? There's a lack here. Because they've changed their growth cycle. They needed those leaves to get nice and lush and begin to grow. And now I want the focus to be on the fruit. Is it harvest time? That's the thing, saints. I want the focus to be on the fruit. I want it to be on the life, not the knowledge. And you know what? Your YouTube clips, heaps of knowledge. But what did Daniel say? Knowledge shall increase. But I don't want knowledge, I want life. So I've got to do some of my own experimenting. Because sometimes you can prune and get zealous and over prune. You got to know how to direct the energy. Got to cut off the suckers. Sucking off the system. And this is the thing, eh, is like I said, I can discern, in my garden, I can discern there's a lack of something here. So I give those tomatoes a feed because the appetite change. Your appetite change. That's why you're not keen on foundational teaching no more. You've already been through them things. Eh? That's why only a higher realm of thinking will stimulate you. That's why I got to break into those realms. And then what I'm saying, saints, is that the appetite was changing. So what used to stimulate the growth and bring forth leaves and branches, they've gone beyond that stage. I got to now give them a feed that'll stimulate the growth of the fruit. So I give them a feed of seaweed. And you think to yourself, how do you know to give them seaweed? Not because of YouTube clips, because of a sensitivity. Because of an understanding. And you know what? Because I'm in an experimental stage, this can be very good or very bad. This can be a good look, or this can be a catastrophe. And I'm not one to try my experimenting on one plant. While I'm in the motion, while I'm in the move, and this is how I'm talking about the sensitivity of what is needed. I'm not just giving it to one plant and see if it works first. I got to know his mind. I got to be certain about these things. This is not an experiment without faith. This is an experiment walking by faith. Because the Lord said, whatsoever I put my hand to, he will bless it. So I come down in the morning under an air of expectation, not fear. Eh? Knowing that by faith, Abraham, and by faith, Sarah, and by faith. And I step in there and I see the tomato plant smiling. I see the, you know how they get little crinkles and they begin to shrivel up a little bit and they look like they need a bit of watering, but it's not water they need. It's food for the season. When I've given them the food for the season, just overnight the effects. I come out there smiling. I come out and they're lively. You see them not crinkled up and not like they just come to church and they're trying to get back into the spirit again. Hey, they're vibrant. Hallelujah. Because they've been washed in the water of the thinking man's filter that brings a holy man's taste. Because if I'm talking about going back to Eden, I've got to experience Edenic conditions. I've got to be able to see the need. Whoo! In some areas that I let the weeds grow. Sure, I let the weeds grow around those apple cucumbers. Why? So those mongrel magpies don't see them. Because if they see them, they get down there, they just peck them up, peck away. They're like young fellas that pluck the tomatoes or the feijo as well. They're still green. Eh? And I think to myself, you eat those green ones, good on you. Get a guts ache so you don't touch them again. But I notice as they're changing color, they bring a greater attraction. Eh? But that's what I mean. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm on the stages to getting there. And now I'm conquering land, but there has to be a sensitivity to his word and his will to be able to go back into Edenic conditions. I'm not just talking about these things, brethren. I'm wanting to enter into that. And this is what I was saying a little bit earlier. That's the way it is to all believers. They're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. That's where I am. I'm in a world to myself. I don't adhere to. It's easy to take advice. Huh? I look at an idea, I think, yeah, that looks like that'll work. And then I implement my own idea. I glean information. This is why I'm like a sponge. I can draw in information and then I'm honing that, focusing that down into the mind of Christ. How do I bring this principle in the word? Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. If he lived in that world, can we live in that world too? Where I can be sensitive to botany life, animal life, sea life, bird life, because I want the birds around my place. Why should my farm be just to produce grass? That's colonialistic thinking. Man, I don't just want a mutter. I want an economy. I want my rongo around my whenua. Hey? I want my tupaki growing by my little stream. And my kawakawa. So that those healing properties can be in my inheritance. Come on, saints. I don't want to put up plastic shelter belts. When I got panga out there, I can grow. Come on. I got shrubs that can be to fulfill that part. So why should I be thinking? No. Our forefathers broke in the land. You know what the main reason why they broke in the land was? To make room for their mother? Hey? To make a little bit of room for their cows so that they can This is the question that I asked my mokos. Ask me anything, I can give the answer. Sasha, right? I said, yeah, okay. Why does a red cow have white milk and it always eats green grass? Say that again, Papa. Why does a red cow have white milk and it always eats green grass? I'll have to think for that about that for a little while. But this is the thing, eh? Why should I be locked into colonialistic thinking? And that's what the disciples were. They were locked into colonialistic thinking. And we rebel against colonialism, and sometimes we walk in it. Because what is colonialism but the effects of mystery Babylon? Let's take it back into the scripture. What colonialism is all about. Now, Jesus was not colonialized. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't understand him because he was a mystic. He was thinking out of the box. When he spoke to them, they say this. And then they said, why are you talking riddles? We don't understand this. How can this be? See, they wasn't in the world that he lived in. Well, I want to be in the world that he lived in. I want to be able to speak to the fig tree when it's not bringing forth fruit. All it was bringing forth was leaves. That's how I get my principle of pruning those leaves off from the word. You won't get that in YouTube. He came to the tree and all it had was leaves and he wanted fruit. And then my thought was, he was wanting figs, but it wasn't the season for figs. Well, we're not there to cultivate leaves. I know leaves is fellowship, but beyond fellowship is fruit. Right? Is that what we should be focused on in the time of the harvest? Fruit. I'm trying to show you a world. They weren't in a world that he lived in. See, they couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. That's what I'd rather be. I'd rather be a new creation in Christ. There now, you're getting into bride material. See, you're getting into rapturing condition now. That's why I'm basing these things, because I want you to be in rapturing condition. What's that song we sing? I came from another world. I'm going back to that other world, to that eternal place. Glory! That's where it's at for me. Why is it that we can go out on the Moana and everybody come back with maybe one or two fish in the bin and we come back with a full bin? Why is it that we can still find, it's not our skill. As soon as we start thinking that, the resource dries up. It's because we're tuned in to another economy, another world. It's not because I watch YouTube clips on how to catch crayfish. It's a supernatural economy. You know what it's like for me, brethren? I'm down there. Hey, I'm down there, down in the water. You got 200 bar. You got 200 pound of pressure. And within that 200, you got to get your quota. And I'm down to half. And my thinking is, Lord, man, I tried with all the skill that I got. This is my thinking. This is what I'm doing while I'm down there and I haven't found nothing and I'm down to half a tank. So Lord, gonna take you to come on the scene. I know I'm in the right place, I'm in the right time, I'm in the right season, but you come by your grace, show me the way. I'm down to 50 bar, and 50 bars when you have to start coming up. Normal fellas come up at 50 baht. But we live in another world. Amen. And at 50 baht I see a nest. 13 packies in it. Hey, that's what that feels like, hey, Mike. You come in there, man, and you see that crack, and it's got 13, and you're down to your last 50. Whoo, and you say, thank you, Lord. What about when you're already in the right channel, you drop down off the anchor, like I was out there diving with Andrew's two sons, and I had sent them into the places where I thought the craze would be, and I sent them into the shallows, and I was going out deeper. And when I dropped down, I sent them into the best posies, right? And when I dropped down with 200 baht in the bottle full, and I find a crack, and it's got craze right down this thing. Hey, and you've got a full tank. You think, he praise God. It immediately is not how skillful we are. It's praise the Lord. And do you think I go for the hardest ones first? No, sirree. I'm looking for the easy fellas. Pack and save. Next one. Hey? That's living in another world. That's tapping into God's great economy, because the government didn't give you dominion. God gave you dominion. Right from Genesis, he says, all of this economy, I've given you dominion over it. But you are kaitiaki. You're the guardians of the resource. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about what? One bride material. And I'm talking about rapturing condition. And those are two very important parts in 2025. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor, deacons, trustees, that means for the laity, every individual walks in a world with God alone. That's what 2025 should be. You walking with God. You're baptized into this kingdom and there's nobody in there but you and God. So he gives you the orders and you pack them out. Glory. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. So if you want faith that never fails, come into that mystic. Yes, he was a mystic to them with his perfect faith. So is it now with those who have perfect faith are a mystic to others. Now that's what I'm talking about, going back to Edenic conditions, back to a faith civilization, back to a supernatural economy. But I chose Matthew 24 to show you what the minds and the conditions of the disciples were and how Jesus had to change them. It was time for fruit. And now he had to give them seaweed. Hey? He had to find the vitamins and minerals in the word so that those tomato plants can produce fruit. Glory. So when I see these big, huge apple cucumbers, seeing them is one thing, tasting them is another thing. I like them in the fridge for a little bit, so it just cools down all of those juice in those apple cucumbers. Whoo! And then into it. I said to the mokos, you know, this is not just about weeding. Because I took them down so they could harvest some peas. They can taste how sweet it is. This is not just work. This is not just all mahi. This is fruit too. I said, soon you'll be able to come down to the watermelon patch. Like I used to do when I was a young fellow like you fellas. I get into that watermelon patch. I go and get one of those things and find the one with the brown curly part, the curly part all brown. And then I'll go along and then I'm the student of ripeness of watermelons. There's no guessing game. I'll look at that little curly part. I'll give it a tap. Tuk, 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 tuk. And it gives a certain sound. And then we just break that thing off. We break it over our knee and we sit there and have a jubilee. Because this is not just all about weeding the garden. This is about entering into the fruit of the garden. Hallelujah. And you, the fruit of the garden. Ayala, you came back with a whole handful of peas, eh? Woo-hoo! Now, Jesus, one of the greatest hindrances to perfect faith or going back into Edenic conditions is the effects of Mystery Babylon. And it's ingrained, I'm afraid, saints. It's ingrained. And even though we think we're free, what's the fruit? Because if I can see from eternity to eternity, I know how to render unto Caesar what Caesar's and unto God what's God's. I haven't got a thought that, nah, stuff them. I'm going to do my own thing. No, I want to do His will, not my own thing. I want to do His will. That makes me a mystic. That makes me see into realms. That gives me access to supernatural power. Glory. I want to come to a place where I can speak to those caterpillars. Tell them, you can eat the outside leaves. Don't you go near the inside leaves of my cabbage. Hey? I can say to those magpies, I can limit where they are having access. They're corners for me. Hey, you get the caterpillars. You get the worms, any worms that are coming out. In fact, have liberty to all the weeds in my garden. I want to turn them into my weeders. Glory. We're all working with the same mind, the same goal. If I've got dominion. But the greatest hindrances was the effects of Mystery Babylon, political realms, religious realms, and demon power working on the minds of the people and breaking them into colonialism. Now let me just give you quickly these thoughts before we wrap it up and then we can have fellowship about it on Wednesday night. Okay? In essence, colonialism is an act of political and economic domination involving the control of a country and its people by settlers from a foreign power. In most cases, the goal of colonializing countries is to profit by exploiting the human and economic resources of the countries they colonialized. Now, like I said, I'm seeing the effects of colonialization because America, Trump is saying he's going to take Greenland back. They're taking a large slice of the Antarctica back. They're taking Canada back. And what happens in Canada? The government collapses. Is it orchestrated? Now that's the seeds of colonialism on an international arena. Look at the way that he wants to take Panama back. Panama was never his. But they want to take Panama. Why do they want Panama? They want the Suez Canal. That's shipping routes. Now come on, think about it, because colonialization is political and economic domination. They're wanting to control the trade routes. That's what's happening in Antarctica. Because with the Houthis firing on the British, French, American, and Jewish vessels, that stopped their trade route. And when America tried to send in their carriers? Those big things, aircraft carriers, right? They send in the aircraft carriers, those Houthis, supplied with Russian and Chinese missiles, fire their missiles and send America with their massive war machines packing, running from these Yemenis running around with bare feet. Oh, what a slap in the face of colonialism. This superpower. And these fellows with their bow and arrows sending a superpower back. But it's scriptural. That's why we looked into all of those things. Glory. That's why we looked into those prophecies from Amos. And we can understand those wars and what's happening in those wars. But that's what their colonialism is doing. And look, colonialism is coming to fruit too. We're seeing the fruit of these things in New Zealand. Because a part of colonialism is to divide and conquer. Divide the people. Conquer them when they're divided. That's why we have to be united with one God, one faith, one baptism. Our goal is the Word. Our will is His Word. With our own will, it cannot be united. It's got to be His will, His Word, His kaupapa, that we're following. So can you see what I'm talking about here? Because I've gone from a local mutter and I've gone into an international arena to try to show you the harvest time of colonialism. They want to invade Greenland. They want to take a massive chunk of the Antarctic. They want to take Canada, Panama. And all of this is trade routes. Because they have to be able to implement. You can't buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast. And we've known that for years. But the mark of the beast is not you getting a tattoo or getting a vaccine or whatever people are saying about that. The mark of the beast is if you receive the seal of God, the seventh seal himself. If we refuse the headship of Christ, then we'll lean to our own understanding. We will automatically take the mark of the beast. Automatic. So it's one or the other. Either we're filled with the headship of God, we're filled with the seventh seal, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, or we take the mark of the beast. One or the other. And listen, saints, we made that decision years ago that we wanted to follow Him. So look at these things. A foreign power, Mystery Babylon. The goal is to take the human resources as a slave system. Economic resource is to power their system. Right? You become a slave market. Slaves to the economy. To implement their wishes. Exploiting the human, that's the employment, right? Human resources, that's you and I. And the economic resources, you control the resource of a nation, you control the nation. You control the food, you control the people. I've preached to you about the effects of hybrid food. Mara for me is a lifestyle built in the Word. It's bringing forth fruit from an inheritance. You say, I haven't got any whenua. You want some whenua? I'll give you some whenua. Hey? You want a place to put down a mara? I'll give you some. I'm bluffing? Absolutely not. What about your backyard? Understand some principles. Going back into Edenic conditions. I'm not relying on pack and save. I pack and I save. I plant and I reap. Lure, I'm in tune with my economy. If I'm in tune with my economy, if I'm in tune with my whenua, I'm in tune with God. I'm sensitive so I can bring forth 100-fold. Glory. Man, you just need to have a look. I ain't got no skill. But you just need to look at my watermelon patch. It looks like watermelons are growing on top of watermelons. You know, Sasha said she counted 43 or something, she said the other day, eh? Well, it's double that now. There's over 80 in the same place now. And growing. 100-fold. Jubilee. Hooray. Why? Because I want to live by the vision and the word. I don't want to have to pay. Teresa, how much did you pay for that watermelon? Eh? 18 bucks. And I get a pack full. I'm saying, stop buying watermelon. But I got overzealous in my pruning. And then I carried up about 4 half-done watermelons because I cut the wrong vine. It was a little bit overzealous. Eh? My intention was right, but I didn't use my vision. I used my lazy. I'm thinking, look at this little skinny thing. This little skinny vine, I'll cut all the skinny ones off. Cut that skinny one off. It was attached to a big watermelon that hadn't reached maturity yet. Eh? So it's not what we think. It's following every one of those vines. I cut off vines that are not producing fruit. They're just producing flowers. I don't want flowers. You say, no, but flowers will produce. No, no, no. Not if it's a male one. Not if it's a male flower. There's a vine full of male flowers. I'm cutting that thing off. Colonialism have got us thinking materialistic, what we eat, what we drink, and what we put on. Colonialism is a practice or policy of control by one people or power over the other people or areas. Often by establishing colonies and generally with the aim of economic dominance. That's the aim, economic dominance. Eh? Control us. Take us off all the nice whenua. Move us out of Paihia, Waitangi. Put us back in Motutau. No, I love being there. Hey, put you back into the areas where it's away from traffic. Come on. And then they just implement local policy, regional policy to do it. Come on, saints. And we go, oh, yeah, sweet ass. Colonialism is a practice or policy of control by one people or power over another. That's Mystery Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Come on. Often by establishing these colonies, they call it a reservation in America, and when they used to hunt the buffalo, and when they used to have meat that was so good, and with the buffalo they had their housing, they had their clothing, they had their food. And the white men come and wipe it all out. And then they give them a reservation and give them cattle that were mangy, stink things that they wouldn't even kill in the freezing works. And that became their meat. Give them something to keep them festering with rebellion. Come on, drugs and alcohol. Give them an entertainment system so that now their minds can fester, and instead of their minds being free to break into that supernatural realms, to become a mystic with God, to be sensitive to their economies. You see why I'm heading this way, saints? Economic dominance is what they want. And I want to be free from their economic dominance. It's an economy by fear. Hey? You pay that parking ticket, or it'll turn from $30 to $70. And then from 70 to 130, and from 130 to 230, bringing fear, domination, exploitation. And we smile and we think, oh, yeah, sweet ass. No, not sweet ears. I'm coming out of that system, 2025. But I've got to have a balance between rendering unto Caesar what's Caesar and unto God what's God's. And I can only do that by the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. In the process of colonialization, colonizers may impose their religion, language, economics, and other cultural practices. Now, that's why Maori, in general, don't lean towards Christianity, because they think it's a white man's religion. Hey? Because a part of colonialization is to impose their religion. Their religion is Mystery Babylon, not true Christianity. It's Roman Catholic doctrine and dogma. So why I'm showing you these things, brethren, is to show you what we need to come out of. What to be, we need to be free from. Why you need the word in your midst. To bring you into the right vision in the word. I'm seeing the fruit internationally. My goodness. Mystery Babylon is implementing their world systems. They're implementing their forced education system. That's what it is, saints, forced educational system. And then they try to bring in all of this rubbish about, what do they call it? LGBT or whatever it is. If you're a boy and you think you're a girl, you can now use the girls' toilets. You know who should be the guards? The girls. Say to those boys, you come in our toilets and I'm going to lay hands on you. You stand. Hey? And you can't say something against it, or you are criminalized, and you are. That's the world systems. That's their indoctrination process. That's their forced educational system. And if you don't go to school, they hunt you down to drag you to school. Is that right? Truant officers. Now, I believe if we ain't giving them that kind of educational system, we got to give them another educational system. Come on. An educational system based on the word. I want them to be honest. I want them to grow up right. I want them to be able to know how to read and write. I want them to know how to communicate. I want them to have manners. I want them to have respect. I want them to be humble, not arrogant in your face. I want them to be children, obey your parents. And that entitles you to long life. Glory! That's the kind of educational system I want them to have. I want them to know how to add up. Hey, it will take me 100 beans to be able to make such and such. And I'll need so many cabbages. And I'll need so many cauliflowers. I'll need so many zucchinis. I'll need so many of this. And I'll have to make pickle. And that'll last me and the whānau for the whole year. That's the kind of arithmetic I need. Hey? I want to be able to know, okay, the system says I can have 6 per person. That's what the system says. So 6 by 8, 6 8s are 48, I can get 48. According to this world system. But what if God wants to bless me with a 100 and how many fish was in the net? 153. He wants to bless me with 153 and the quota is 7. And God wants to bless me with 157. And there was no fish, but God spoke the fish into existence. Woo! Oh no, that's not logical thinking. Well, tell that to Peter and the brothers that have been fishing all night and got nothing. Turn up on the shore and Maff turns up. Want to take my boat? Want to take my inheritance? Oh, no, Shamgar standing there with his ox goad. It's a certain type of thinking. Watch this now. I haven't finished with colonialism. I want to show you what the system is, to show you what you're bound to and what you need to be breaking away from step by step. I'm showing you what bribe material is made from. I'm showing you, saints, how to practically apply these things to go back into Edenic conditions, because Edenic conditions is not a fairy tale. A colonial mentality is the internalized attitude of ethnic or cultural inferiority. That's a colonial mentality. Internalized attitude of ethnic or cultural inferiority felt by people as a result of colonialization. I'm inferior to their system. I need to raise up to their system. I need to raise up to a place where I've got a flash 5-bedroom home. My dream house. 1 car for me. 1 car for my wife. 1 car for the visitors. 3 garages in my 5-bedroom house with a swimming pool. What do I need a swimming pool for when I got a pool down by the river? I got a swimming hole that far outweighs a swimming pool that I need chloride in it to clean out the bugs. Hey, but it's an image colonialism puts in your mind. That means I need a job that's paying around about $30 an hour. No. You need a job $90 an hour. Eh? Because anything less than $90 an hour, you are just a human resource for the system. Oh, no, but I got to study for 7 years to get that kind of money. No, you break into an economy without money or without price, you live by faith. Live by faith. That's without money or without price. Oh, but how am I going to pay my bills? That's internalized colonial mentality. Come on, saints, I'm telling you about the things you need to break. And I think you need to go back over this thing again. This is why I want to fellowship about it on Wednesday night. Internalized attitude of ethnic or cultural inferiority. No, I ain't inferior to Mystery Babylon. They want me to think I am. Why is it that all the funding goes to everybody else except only 5% of funding goes to Maori and Pacifica? Was it 5%, sister? Why is it only 5%? Because they want to keep us under their colonialistic thinking. Internal, to build up an internal attitude of being servants to their system. Well, 2025 is coming out of her, my people. So them being colonialized by another group, it corresponds with the belief that the cultural values of the colonizer are inherently superior to one's own. They ain't. God's economy is far superior to Mystery Babylon. Colonialism had been justified with beliefs of having a civilizing mission to cultivate land and life based on beliefs of entitlement and superiority, historically often rooted in the belief of a Christian mission. So actually Christianity is tied to colonialism, but we're not talking true Christianity, we're talking about Roman Catholic. That's not Christianity. Come on, hear and understand what I'm talking about. And that's why a lot of Maori are against Christianity. They see it as a part of colonialism. So what did I say? There's colonial mentality, and then a mental colonialization is what happens when a people reject their own values as backward. Now watch this, teenagers. When you say that Christianity is not popular, that's also undermining the values of true Christianity. And then they try to fit themselves into the modern world of the metropolitan country. So it makes it look like rural living is backward. Rural living is inferior. Having a garden is inferior to having money to buy fruits from the garden, and you don't even have to work for it. Hey? Because that's a colonialistic thinking. And if you're working in this colonialistic system, you can have money to buy the car of your dreams. Got street cars and street garages, and then you got another garage with a boat. This is what I crack up at Andrea, and I'm saying to her, man, look at you. Got this nice flash boat, hey? And you only get to use it once a year for 3 weeks out of the year. Leave it here. Leave it here. We'll use it. So he compromised. He went halfway and left it with Daniel. Daniel's down in Whangarei. So I'm saying, man, well, you're gone. We are going to go to the Mokes. We are going to go to the Hen and Chicks. We're going to use this thing, but you see what I mean? The thinking is that when you have got these statements, you've made it. And they can have all of these flash statements and still can't catch a fish. Come on, saints. They can have all the flash gear. I feel a bit shy sometimes going with my old tare fishing rods. And I have to make up my own hooks. I got none of these flasher rigs. Man, I ain't got $30 to buy two for $30, $15 each. No, no, we just get a bit of trace. We get a couple of hooks. We hook these hooks together. We chuck our sinker on. We chuck it in the water. Eh? But we're tapped into the economy. Boom. Saints, are you understanding what I'm talking about in these things? My goodness, I got one more scripture. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Come to God, justified, sanctified, and he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what this service is all about. Renewing of your mind. Renewing the vision. Refocus upon what we want to achieve for 2025. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Give me another 5 minutes. One last quote. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Breaking out of mystery Babylon. Breaking out of colonialism. To be free to worship the Lord. To be free to be who you are. Not who the world wants you to be. I can't conform to this world. I ain't your normal preacher. I hit topics that nobody wants to hit. But I go into it in a depth from the scripture. I want to elevate your thinking. I want to get you thinking into the mind of God so that you can live in a supernatural realm for 2025. I want you to come into an economy by faith. And it'll take sacrifice. It'll be something that breaks you away from these world systems and the reliance of this world and this reliance on money. In the Pergamene church age, it's talking about Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. Revelation 13 is false worship. That's a part of this colonialization, right? Revelation 13 is the beast, the image to the beast, and a colonialization of the people until they can't buy or sell until they take the mark of the beast. Is that right? And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. Pagan Rome becoming papal Rome and coming forth to conquer the world with its religious edicts. And his deadly wound was healed. Pagan Rome became papal Rome and all the world wondered after the beast. Now we know that the wounded head was the pagan Roman Empire, the great political world. This head rose again as the Roman Catholic spiritual empire. Now you know those things, right? You know it, right? So why would you want to be in that kind of system? I'm trying to break you out of that system and out of that mentality. This head rose again as the Roman Catholic spiritual empire. Now watch this carefully. What did political pagan Rome do that was the basis of her success? She divided and conquered. Get them thinking different thoughts. Hey? Get them thinking the world is flat, Sister Christine. Get them thinking the world is flat. Get them thinking these different thoughts to divide them and conquer them. Get them thinking, he whakaputanga and he whakaputanga alone. You've divided them, ready to conquer them. Get them thinking, no, this system, we might as well work with the system, in the system, to help some of the people out of the system. No, it'll suck you up and chew you up and spit you out. As it's done right throughout history. Come out of her, my people. Be transformed. Be changed by the renewing of your minds. Divide and conquer. That was the seed of Rome. Divide and conquer. Iron teeth tore and devoured. Whom she tore and devoured could not raise again. As when she destroyed Carthage and sowed her to salt. Hey? Well, we know a God that even though we may look like we were destroyed, he has a resurrection ministry. He knows how to raise us from the dead. Glory! The same iron seed remained in her when she arose as the false church, and her policy has remained the same, divide and conquer. That is Nicolaitanism, and God hates it. What's it to do? Conquer the people. To divide the people and conquer the people. Well, I refuse to be conquered. Glory! I refuse to bow down to the system, like Haman refused. Like Daniel refused. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. And God came down in the fiery furnace. But sometimes it takes the fiery furnace to test your faith, to see if you've got perfect faith. Now, it is well known historical fact that when this era crept into the church, men began to vie for office of bishop, with the result of the position was being given to the more educated and materially progressive and politically minded man. That's why even in the message, this is myself now, you have men that are not called to the ministry, trying to be a minister, and they haven't got the gift to break in from eternity to eternity. And they got the church living in humanistic things. Promoting vaccination, that's humanistic faith. Promoting the vax? What? Can't come to church unless you've been vaccinated. Divide and conquer? Build them up in fear so that they take it and then pump into their veins more poison than they would get if they were drinking methylated spirits. That's faith. That's men vying for the position of bishop. Because it's a meal ticket. It's not a burden. It's not a gift. Because they want influence among people and they're not called to it. Because power without character is satanic, but power with character is fit to rule. I'm talking about a system here, saints. And unfortunately, it's ingrained in the message. Watch this now. Because what got into the church? Politically minded men. Vying position. Human knowledge and program began to take over divine wisdom's place, and the Holy Spirit no longer controlled. That's a church with Ichabod. This was indeed a tragic evil, for the bishops began to maintain that it no longer required a transparent Christian character to minister either the word or the rites of the church, for it was the elements and the ceremony that counted. This allowed even men seducers to rend the flock. Has that happened, saints? Hey? Is that why in all the tongues, the priests turn up? so they can get their koha? Come on, saints. Are you seeing it? We have to come out of that. I was interviewed by a videographer that came from those fellows that gave us the grant for Marakai, and they were interviewing us on why they came around the church. They were taking photos. They took photos down at my mother. And because I didn't adhere to their colonialistic theories, I said, we didn't even want your fellows' money. Eh? But we took the opportunity to buy us equipment, get us gears, so that we can shortcut the process. I said, that's all funding does, is shortcut the process. Otherwise, it would have been a longer-term vision. Otherwise, you all would have to have fundraised out in the communities to try and get these things moving. I said, I didn't want your money. And then what did they do after they do the video? Send a koha. Want me to accept a koha for my... I said, I don't need a koha to tell you about my belief structure, to why I do the things I do. And you want to give me some trinkets? Give me that video back. There's no what we're trying to portray. You want to give me some blankets and tobacco? Because we're mystics. We're mystics. We don't think like they think. We think outside of the box. We think according to the mind of God. But you know what it did? It gave an opportunity to fellowship with the videographer. And then a little bit later on, Trees meets them down at our swimming hole. Our swimming hole. And then you fellowship, and that opens up avenues. Brother Dave, the fellow Neil, that gave you the kumara plants to give to me when I needed to plant them. And Dave turns up just as I'm mounding the kumara. He came over for some fellowship. That was a strategic alliance. That was divine intervention. Because I feel obligated when somebody gives me something. I don't want the ledger to be, I owe him. And it wasn't given like that. It wasn't given for that I owe anybody. He just came, gave from the goodness of his heart. So when he came back around, I wanted to even the ledger. So we gave him some of that nice manuka honey, manuka bush mix. Ooh, I tell you. Honey from the rock. Give him some of that. Give him a crave so that the ledger is the other way instead of my way. I don't feel any obligation, huh? But then the fellowship. The knowledge imparted and received. A connection taking place. Building up networks. Networks for what? Going back to our barter systems. Going back to, hey, you need some kumara. Yeah, bro. I got some, hey? I got some of this if you like. Yeah, bro, sounds good to me. I want to supplement my diet. I don't want to be living off kumara all winter. I tried 2 weeks of it up in Papua New Guinea. Wasn't good. Evil men seduces to rend the flock. With the man-made doctrine of the elevation of bishops to a place not accorded them in the scripture, the next step was handing out of the graded titles that built up into a religious hierarchy. For soon there were archbishops over bishops and cardinals over the archbishops, and by the time of Boniface III, there was a pope over all, a pontiff. So look at that, eh? Tiers in hierarchy. That's why in this church, there's one Heavenly Father and one boss of us, that's him. But then there's gifts in the body that operate that we have respect for the office gifts. That's all it is. No hierarchy. I ain't better than you. You ain't better than me. We are one people. Sorry, folks, I've gone beyond my 5 minutes. What with the Nicolaitan doctrine and the amalgamation of Christianity with Babylonianism, the net results had to be what Ezekiel saw in chapter 8, verse 10. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall around. And that was the start of Ichabod. The glory of the Lord departed from the church. And then he goes into mention Revelations 18, verse 2. And remember, I started with Revelations 18 last Sunday. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Is that right? This is the system, saints. It's fallen, has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then he said, what? Come out of her, my people. That's what we have to do. Come out of her. Do you want to come out? I'm giving you practical steps on how to come out. How to live by faith. Now this Nicolaitan doctrine, this rule that was established in the church, did not hit it off too well with a lot of the people, for they could read the odd epistle or essay on the written word written by some godly person. So what did the church do? These are the ones that wouldn't play ball in this Babylonian system. So what did the church do? It excommunicated the righteous teachers and burned the scrolls. Excommunicate the true, the ones that were mystics. Excommunicated anyone that was in contact with God. Is that what happened to Jesus because he wasn't preaching the popular things? Is that what happened to Brother Branham? Because he wasn't preaching what the world was preaching. And they shut all the doors. I don't care if the doors get shut. God will open up doors to ones that want his word. He said, they said it takes a special education to read and understand the word. Yeah, special education like John the Baptist. Like Elijah, raised in the wilderness. Why even Peter said that many things Paul wrote were hard to understand. This is what they're teaching. Having taken away the word from the people, it soon came to the people listening only to what the priest had to say and doing what he told them. They called that God and his holy word. See the religious system we got to break out of as well? They took over the minds and lives of the people and made them the servants of a despotic priesthood. Now, if you want proof of that, the Catholic Church demands the lives and minds of men. Just listen to the edict of Theodist, whatever, his first edict. And then it brings in all of these different edicts. I'll read it. This edict was issued immediately after he was baptized by the first church of Rome. We three emperors, this is mystery bubble I'm talking about, we have to come out of. We three emperors will that our subjects steadfastly adhere to the religion which was taught by Saint Peter to the Romans. Load of rubbish. Peter fought against this Roman edict, which has been faithfully preserved by tradition and which is now professed by the pontiff, Damascus of Rome, Peter, bishop of Alexandria, and a man of apostolic holiness according to the institution of the apostles and doctrines of the gospel. Let us believe in one Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of equal majesty in the Holy Trinity. Okay? That's why people are forced into believing in three gods. We order that the adherents of this faith be called Catholic Christians. We brand all the senseless followers of other religions with the infamous name of heretics. That's why we are heretics. Eh? We're heretics. What's that other word they call us? Cults. We're heretics and cults. And forbid their convictuals assuming the name of churches. underground churches then they become. Besides the condemnation of divine justice, they must expect the heavy penalties which our authority, guided by heavenly vision, wisdom, shall think proper to inflict. And then there was all these 15 penalties for breaking the Roman Catholic doctrines. This is what brought fear amongst the people. Hey? All their rights taken away, excluding them from all civil offices. Is that what they do nowadays? You only can get certain jobs if you've got certain type of education. You got to study for 7 years to be a dentist. You got to study for all of these years to be a lawyer. Those are the echelons that they're talking about now. And if you haven't got the education system, you're not going to make that system. Look at how they've built that up into colonialism. And if they break these laws, they're threatened with fines. That's the first part, right? You're fined. And then you're getting penalties on your fines. That's colonialism. That's the system. I refuse to bow to it. Threaten them with fines, confiscation. What's confiscation? Get your vehicle taken off? Get your boat taken off? Hey? Get your house taken off? Banishment. Where to? Prison. Penal systems. And even in some cases, death for breaking the edict. I say, saints, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins, you receive not of her plagues. That's what 2025 is all about. I'm sorry I took a little bit of time to explain colonialism, but I thought I have to. So you understand what this world system is made up of and how we come out of the system. How we raise up in faith in Christ. And that's what I want to fellowship about on Wednesday night. All good? Fellowship over to all. Come armed. Come armed. Come with your thoughts. Come with your ideas of how to break away from this colonialistic world. How to live by faith. How to know you're in the will of God. How do you know your objective is right and your motive is right? I'm not just changing these things so that I can have a license plate and I only need to pay $100. You hear me? It's more than that, saints. I'm not here just for the economics of it. I'm here to be able to stand upon the doctrines of the word and break out of this colonialistic thinking. This is not just about putting a sign on my gate. I got the token over my gate. Glory! I don't have to fly the hair whakaputanga flag because I'm flying the flag of Christ. I'm protected by the blood. Hallelujah. I'm back into Edenic conditions. That's what I call living by faith. And if I got to take a penalty because of my faith, so be it. He'll come. He'll be the fourth man in the fire. He'll come. He will come with me in the lion's den. Now you're enthused and you're all praising the Lord and you're all thanking the Lord, but now the word has got to be made flesh. That's where we have to walk and let's stand to our feet, bow heads in a word of prayer. Thank you, saints. Thank you for holding patiently. I know it's been a long service, but I had to lay everything out like that. Amen? Praise the Lord. And gracious Father. Lord, we can gather spiritual food, and it can be spiritual food, but it takes you to put it all together. It takes you, Lord, to build up the backgrounding of these things. It takes you, Lord, to be able to place it in parables and thoughts and ideas, and so that, Lord, we can elevate our thinking. So that we can look beyond the veil. So that we can become mystics to this world. So that we can be thinking like you think, seeing like you see. So we, Lord, can see and live from eternity to eternity and have those supernatural results. So help us, I pray, in 2025, Lord, to come out of mystery Babylon. Show us how to do it, Lord. Show us how to step by step, stage by stage, until we're free. Until we're at liberty. Not colonialized by the songs we sing. Like not colonialized by conduct, order, and doctrine of how we run the church. But I don't want to be so liberal-minded that we can go from grace into disgrace. I don't want there to be a letter that killeth, but where the Spirit giveth life. Hallelujah! And I know, Lord, I can only teach these things if I live it. I want to be living in the vision. I don't want to be talking about the vision. I want to be living in the vision. Glory! And there's still land to be possessed, oh God. There's still a faith to walk into. I want to be under the radar, oh God. I want to be sweeping fast, moving behind the enemy lines. Hallelujah. I want to be moving on a third pool mercy mission. All of the songs in the hymnology that we've sung throughout the years, culminating in a 2025. I don't want to be talking about going back into Edenic conditions. I want to live in Edenic conditions. I want to be in Goshen while the judgments are falling on Egypt. I know one of the things that enemy tried to do in Egypt was to hold back the little ones. You go and worship, but leave your little ones behind. Lord, Moses said, we'll not leave our little ones behind. Hallelujah! We need that generation. We need our rangatahi. We need our tamariki. We need all of those resources that you gave us. They're a part of our inheritance, Lord. We want to work in our inheritance. We want to bring forth into a supernatural economy, an economy by faith. We don't want to be just talking about these things, Father. I want to live it. Let that be the desire of every one of our hearts, oh God. Hallelujah. I don't want to be just thinking I came from another realm. I want to live in that realm. Hallelujah. Now just receive our praise and worship, Father. But what I ask, Lord, is you would allow this word, allow us to meditate upon it day and night. Allow us to eat from the tree of life and, Lord, receive the vitamins and minerals of the word to sustain this natural and spiritual body. Break us from colonialism, Lord. Break us from divide and conquer so that we haven't got our own mind, our own ideas and our own will, but we have the will of God. Unite us by your word, oh God, into a mechanism, well-oiled machine spoken about in Ephesians chapter 4, fitly joined together so that every part works to the edifying of the body in love. No fear about it, Lord, only faith, only love, perfect faith, so that we can have perfect Gibson operation. That's our desire. That's our vision for 2025, oh God. Leaving those things that are behind us. Going on as you elevate our thinking, oh God. I commit it all to you now, Father. Receive our worship, our praise, our glory, our honor in the wonderful and blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory! If you can understand, I come from another world, where the sons of God shout for joy,
and the morning stars sing. I declare I was there.
My kind is very rare. In his image I was Is playing it in E flat,
B.
B flat, go E flat. I want to be able to sing it. I don't care about you, but I want to be able to sing it and power it out. And I can't. I can't with that key. We're looking for a key. Hey, I want to be able to power it out. Amen. I want to hear Sister Michelle powering it out because we don't get to hear her very often in the church. So we got to get the right key. Glory. Sneak in here like that, sister, I tell you. I'm not of this world.
I was expressed into time. I've come from another world. Set to be an end time sign.
I'm only here for a little while to prove and manifest His life from another world. I'm going back to that eternal world. I live in another world where I'm influenced to praise by my theophany. That's been singing to me. There is a quickening power that's been rapturing me to a heavenly place, a supernatural atmosphere from that other world.
Glory!
From that other world. I'm only here for a little while to prove and manifest this life from another world. I'm going back to that eternal world.
I came from another world.
I came from another world where I'm influenced to praise by my theophany.
has been singing to me. There is a quickening power that's been rapturing me to a heavenly place, a supernatural atmosphere from that other world. From another world, I'm not of this world.
Glory.
I was expressed into time. I came from another world, said to be an end time sign. I'm only here for a little while to prove and manifest this life. From another world, I'm going back to that eternal world.
I'm only here
for a little while to prove and manifest this life. From another world, I'm going back to that eternal world. Thank you, Jesus. Could you fellas hit that one? Hey?
Yeah, that was easier. Yeah. That's better.
Praise the Lord, eh?
Amen.
Man, I knew it was wrong as soon as we sang the first verse. Thank you, Jesus. What was that other song we sing? I think Brother Des, about colonized to the system. What's the name of that song, then? Brother Blessings' favorite song. Tangata Whenua. Let's sing that one, brethren. Hey? Tangata Whenua. People of the land. What land? The promised land.
Amen.
Not a natural land, it's a spiritual land.
Amen.
Glory. Tangata Whenua. I am a Gentile warrior. For a day before the foundation of the world, yet though I find this lost people, Tangata Whenua. I am a Gentile warrior. For a day before the foundation of the world, yet though I find this lost people, colonized by their language. When our only one language was written in the stars, the sun and the moon for the seasons, to plant and harvest for our families.
Now bound and shackled to their systems,
in a democracy designed to tear us apart, in conflicting rights and regulation, with our minority created by immigration. Tangata Whenua, I am a Gentile warrior. For a day before the foundation of the world, to go out and find us lost people. Tangata Whenua, I am a Gentile warrior. For a day before the foundation of the world, to go out and find us lost people. Viruses, potions, pharmaceuticals are all made up in laboratories, causing battles raging in the mind to create turmoil and fear. Vaccines force depopulations, try to take us like we are animals. A chip in the hand, they say it's okay, but they're messing around with your DNA.
Tangata Whenua,
I am a Gentile warrior. For a day before the foundation of the world, to go out and find us lost people. Tangata Whenua, I am a Gentile warrior. For a day before the foundation of the world, to go out and find us lost people. Is riding on a pale horse, and all hell is falling.
I am a warrior. I am an ash-filled living vessel, mixed with the iron water of the living word, to go out and sprinkle his people. We are warriors. God has given us eyes of an eagle, and his divine love for his people, to set the captives free. We are warriors. We are ash-filled living vessels, mixed with the iron water of the living words, to go out and sprinkle his people. To go out and sprinkle his people. To go out and sprinkle his people.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, what words to bring in 2025. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you all, saints. Praise the Lord. What was that other song I had mentioned? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, it's good to have all of the instrument players, eh?